Well, I want to invite Pastor Linton up. This is someone, yeah, why don't we just keep our applaud thing going on? Yes. It's, you know, I think in our culture, in Christendom, it's actually become a sad thing, the kinds of people that we prop up as celebrity in Christianity. A lot of times people are celebrities if they write books or say something controversial, or they're on a stage and they have demonstrative leadership and they just do something trendy or popular. And at times we tend to follow them the most and like their things the most and talk about those people the most. And they tend to almost become heroes to people who are walking out their faith like you and me. And our culture tends to make them celebrities, and our Christian subculture tends to pay them well financially for their celebrity and want them. Well, there's a few people in my life that I've met that I would absolutely regard as a hero. And Pastor Linton and his wife and their faith, I can genuinely say, are faith heroes to me, for sure. Absolutely, for sure.
Thank you.
And you're going to hear why. You're going to hear why. And I know that humbles him, because genuinely, this is just someone who I see as an elder brother who has been walking with God longer than I have. And he's just been faithful to say yes to what God's called him to right where he's at. And I cannot think of anyone better to bring up into this context and love you and lead you and encourage you other than my good friend, someone who I admire so much, Pastor Linton. And so I'm not going to say anything more, but I would like to pray for you before you speak. And he's going to preach from the scriptures to us this morning. You can turn to 1 Corinthians if you would. He's going to preach from there. And then I'm going to come back up after he's done, and I'm just going to try to unpack some of the things he talked about, how we can really live these things out well. So we want to pray for him, and English is not his primary language, so get used to a little slower speaking, but he has excellent English. So he already said, like, English isn't my primary language, but it was flawless. So listen well. It's going to bless your heart deeply, deeply. Not bless your heart like Southern, like, bless your heart, but be a deep, wonderful encounter with God through his word. So let's pray for Pastor Linton. God, this man is someone who I regard greatly, trust greatly, and admire greatly. It's because Christ has, your son, has rescued him from a life of meaninglessness. And the reason I admire him is because I've seen what the gospel has done in him personally, and I have heard the stories of what you're doing through him. And I thank you. But Linton and I both stand here today as humble servants before you. Jesus Christ, you're our hero. You're the one we admire. And so you deserves all the glory. You're due it all the praise and honor. In this moment, Holy Spirit, would you so work in such a way through Pastor Linton that his words are truly just an outflow of your truth. Give him all the words you have to say and protect him from saying anything less and anything more. We need to hear from you. And we set this man apart for this work in this time. Amen. Brother.
Well, good morning to all of you. I bring you greetings from Sri Lanka and from the persecuted Christians in Sri Lanka. Be greeted in the name of the Lord Jesus. Usually, in my country, I preach looking over my shoulder. But I feel comfortable here. When I get up to preach, I'm always reminded by a story at the back of my mind so that I wouldn't go on rambling all the time. I'll just tell you that story just to relax myself and to relax you from the things you're going to come now. There was a pastor who was preaching in a particular church. And he was used to rambling on. And while he was doing that, somebody in the church, a gentleman, got up and walked right out of the door. It was quite annoying to the pastor, because he was halfway through his message getting a point out when he was disturbed by the man walking out of the door. Anyway, the message finished. And when the service was over, A lady came up to him and said, "Pastor, I want to apologize for what my husband did. Halfway through your message, he got up and walked out of the church." The pastor stopped there and said, yeah, I was a little affected by what he did, you know. But she said, "Pastor, don't take it too seriously. Frank, my husband, walks in his sleep." I wouldn't want one of you to walk in your sleep. So I'm going to make it short, nippy, quick, and give it back to your pastor, okay? I am a shepherd in my country and a fisher of souls. I fish for souls on the beaches of Sri Lanka, of which I will talk sometime later. But today I'm here to speak about the cross. Why? Because the message of the cross is simply foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, it is the power of God. What? This seems to be a sleepy church. Come on. It is the power of God. That's what it is. The cross. That's the thing. The message of the cross, the love that came through that cross is the thing that made me dedicate my life in that of my wife to the man who gave his life for us. I was brought to the Lord because a pastor stopped to tell me that Jesus loves me. That was the gospel I heard. And I've never stopped looking and serving the one who loves me through thick, through thin, through many gun battles, to many landmines, to death threats, to guns that were held on my wife 3-4 times, guns that cooled off my neck. I never stop and never will. I just want to bring you another story, because while I walk here in the States and have opportunities to bring the love of Christ to people, an amazing story just about 3 or 4 days ago once again stirred the love I have for Christ, the one who loves me with a boundless, matchless, measureless love. Here's a story. It came so suddenly. It came unexpectedly. I was with a newly married couple that loved each other very much, and I hope so. I went with them shopping, of all things. And as we were entering the store, I saw the bride, the new bride, take the lead right into the store. And so I walked behind with her beloved husband and my beloved wife. And I saw this new bride just sweep through, you know, the aisles of the shop that was there, looking for things, meddling, putting back, taking, putting back boxes, whatever, you know. And a loving husband, very patiently just watched her go. He said nothing. He was extremely patient, one of the fruits of the Spirit, incidentally. And he watched her, and when she had finished shopping, remember I told you she went first into the shop. When she was coming forth to the counter of payment, It was her husband who took the lead. He walked up to the counter and he paid the whole bill. The whole bill. And his beloved wife walked free of payment right out of the shop. Didn't even have to open her purse. A tear appeared in my eye as once again the love of Christ was exhibited to me. Jesus. Jesus. Behold a man upon the cross, my sins upon his shoulder. Truly the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I was called by Jesus and he told me, don't stay here. Go. And he sent me to an area that we never hoped to go. I was very young, very energetic. And so I went there. But he said, you learn from Paul. You learn from St. Paul how you are to fish. Tell me when it's going wrong. I don't want you walking out of that place. And so, as I read and studied, I found that Saint Paul said, I follow Christ, you follow me. And then I came out of the assemblies of God, as the Lord said, I'm setting you free. Will you bring that scripture up? The scripture that 1 Corinthians 9, this is what Paul said. Though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ. I am under the law of Christ. I haven't time to talk to you about the law of Christ. That I might win those outside of the law. To the weak I became weak. That I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people. That by all means, I might save some of the Buddhists, of the Hindus. I do all for the sake of the gospel, the love of Christ, that I may share with them in its blessings. Amen? Amen. Even that is not enough. Come on, get alive. Amen? That's good. When you make a noise, a joyful noise to the Lord, Satan gets running. He gets running. So I don't want to take too much time. I want this man to, you know, question me all that he wants. But I encourage you. There is rewards for soul saving. You know why God saved you? You know why he went to the cross and he gave his life for you? Do you know why? Have you ever thought about it? Why did he, from all those people, save me? Why? Why did he shed his blood for me? And I began to realize, and I can tell you the answer. He saved you that you might go and save others. God's method is a man. God's method is a woman. And you can be that man or be that woman. In our church, all house churches, mind you, I'll be talking to you about the church on the breach. We believe that if we have 10 in a congregation, at the end of the year, we should have 14. And I would encourage you today to serve the man who paid at the payment counter everything that needed to be paid for you and me. Everything that you need not fish in your pocket to find something less. Your pastor said, he definitely said today, that in Christ Jesus you are complete. I want to finish that off. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'll just read this few verses to you, but I need help. I'm getting old now. Not what I was. Anyway, Hebrew, chapter 10. If it comes up on the screen, it would be good. But I'll still read it to you. Chapter 10. Verse 14. Chapter 10, verse 14. I'm just picking these things out from my Bible. And chapter 10, verse 14. By a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who have been sanctified. One sacrifice. Behold that man. Understand him. Know him, and then serve him. You know, there are some quotes that I like to speak about. The Lord does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. He does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. What a God. With this, I shall hand it over. Ponder the achievement of God. He does not condone our sin. Nor does he compromise his standard. He does not ignore our sin. He assumes our sin. And incredibly sentences himself. God's holiness is honored. Our sin punished. And we are redeemed. God does, what we cannot do, so that we can be what we do not dream to be, perfect before God. Amen. I hope you are encouraged, and I want to give it over to my brother here. He's younger than my sons. I'm 47 years married, 8 grandchildren, and have been serving the Lord for well over 30 years. And thank God for it. I'd like to go for more if He gives me.
Brother, thank you. Can we thank him with this sound applause? So, Pastor Linton, thank you for sharing that. Something that's so helpful for us is that though we live kind of a world away, in a sense, maybe you could even show, for some of you, you might not know where Sri Lanka is. We're going to show you up on the map here. I believe Pastor Linton will be using the laser pointer, which, by the way, people were kind of teasing me because I sounded like a little kid when I used it for the first time. And I kid you not, when he did, he went, ooh. So until you experience it, don't judge it. All right. So, Pastor Linton, why don't you just show it? There you go, using the laser pointer quite well. That is Sri Lanka right there.
It's called a teardrop in the Indian Ocean.
There you go. Why don't we zoom in? Let's show the country of Sri Lanka. And so we'll leave that up there for right now, and you can kind of show us some things where you...
That's where I live. That's where I live. This Colombo is the capital. And I serve the Lord on this beach street. Right along this. That's a church that meets on the beach. And we go right up there. All this, the jungle to cross to get there.
Awesome. If you could put that world map up again, we need to hear from you, and we need your help, Pastor Linton, because you read the same scriptures we read. You worship the same God we worship. We have the same Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not a yes or no question, but it sounds like it. Do we have the same call as those you lead to Christ in Sri Lanka? Is it the same, or is it different? And I'd like you to answer that question, and then not so much as a prophet, but help us understand how to interpret the scriptures, not for the United States, but how have you understood the scriptures to be applied from what you just talked about, becoming all things to all men, that you might win some. So how do you understand that across the world, and how you equip people into that truth?
Well, we all believe in the same one and only true God who loves us all. You're a whitey and I'm a brownie, but that makes no difference at all. You know, He loves us all. We are one in Christ. Thank God for that.
Was that your answer?
It makes no difference whatsoever. You know, it absolutely. So what He has called us to do, He has called you also to do.
Well, using your words, why don't you show us some of your brownie family up on the screen? Show us your family. Help us understand how you apply these scriptures by showing us your family and then showing us the team that you minister with. And how do you become all things to all men that you might win some? What is that like for you in your country? But why don't you show us who your family is, introduce us, and then move into your ministry team.
Well, that's my family. I'm the one taking the picture. That's my beauty. That's my eldest son, and that's his wife. That's my second son, that's his wife. And that's my daughter, who's in England and married to a street pastor who pastors in Manchester. This son serves the Lord part-time, and this is the one Satan tried to remove from our presence last year. He was with cancer, and God has healed him completely. Kidney transplant. He's back on the field at the moment. And these are my grandchildren. Eldest grandchild, Lindsay, Liam, Leith, Luke, Leanne.
I hear a theme.
Lily and Leland.
Very good. Do you have any other L names left?
Well, I have my whole family. My brother is a pastor and he's Lenny.
Can you show the picture of his son? He has a mask on. There we go. So tell us who he's standing with here.
At that moment, when he needed a kidney and was fading off, this girl on my team here, 28 years, two kids, she said, "Take my kidney." And here she stands with him out in the woods evangelizing. He's with the mask as he does evangelize due to the dust. And she's also 100%. And they stand together and praise the Lord together. They bring their hands up. They each got one kidney. And they're looking good.
I think we have another picture of her in actually the hospital. You can see that.
That's
smiling.
Before she donated her kidney, she went into the theater with a thumbs up.
Mm. And she was a 95% match right there in your church team.
Match.
Right on your team. That's pretty awesome. That's how God works. It's amazing. So we're starting to see some of your team. Why don't you show us some more of your team that does ministry with you? I think we have some other pictures that show some of your team. So this is House Church, I believe.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a House Church, and I'm giving some instructions to those young men because they were all strong Buddhists who have turned to the Lord, and talking with them personally. That's my son after his kidney operation, preaching in one of the outskirts of Sri Lanka.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's on the beach of Sri Lanka in the east, watching the fish that had been just brought in and talking to the fishermen there how to become fishers of men.
Was Jesus brown?
Oh, yeah, always.
Who do we have here?
Yeah, we have some of them who are preparing to dedicate their life to Jesus, and they have been spoken to by me and my son, giving them solid advice as they prepare to dedicate their lives to go to partake of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, from that point, how to turn the other cheek.
I think we have another picture of the ladies as well on the beach.
Yes.
Or maybe it might go right into baptism.
That's my beauty.
There she is. And here you are baptizing.
This guy here is a high-ranking Buddhist monk whom the Lord changed completely. And when I get stuck trying to talk some points out with Buddhism, I bring him around. He is highly, highly persecuted for his turn from Buddhism to Christianity.
So we have a few baptism pictures. Who are these others who are being baptized? Did they come out of Buddhism as well?
Everybody, 100%, is Buddhist and Hindu converts, so I don't work with any Christians. There aren't any, and I leave that job to the others.
Did you hear that? 100% of their ministry is with Buddhists. He doesn't work with any Christians. He leaves that up to other people. It's not because he doesn't like Christians, but 85%, no. I believe, of the country is Buddhist or Hindu?
Yeah, I've been called to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and so I work with them, but I do encourage Christians wherever I go. My desire is to lift them up, to build them up, and not bring them down.
Yeah. So you go where Christ has not been named yet, like Paul did.
That's it.
Awesome. Who do we have here?
This is part and parcel of those that walk the jungles with me. There's my wife again, ready for the walk.
Explain this. So the reason, Pastor Linton showed me a bunch of pictures, so I was on his tablet, and when you see these pictures, this is not just a beautiful scenic picture, although I look and go, look how beautiful that land is. Tell us what's going on in the midst of this picture. What are y'all doing?
We are trying to find people in this location, a deserted location way up, about 8,000 feet above sea level. And it's pretty cold. I guess it's a little more than that. And she's feeling the bite. So as we are looking and scouting out there, looking for people, that's a picture of her standing there. That's the dedication. That's the inside of our house church, the main house church that what takes place in Badulla. Incidentally, we are able now to be here. I won't give names, but a brother I never knew here in America just heard a CD of mine when I preached long years ago in New Hampshire, and just on time bought us this building. And so that's part of the church. That boy there, he's with me from the age of 6 years. He had a hole in his heart, and now he's a preacher of the word. That's his wife, and that's his second baby.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's the way we eat out in the jungle. When we want a break, we just sit around and relax a little bit. Always there'll be a scouter around the place. Scouting for any dangers that might come around while we have a little snack and continue to go. That's my wife again. She's a teacher of women. And that's the second part of my house, which is used, you know, we are in an L-shaped church. And she teaches these ladies how to evangelize and how to be busy as wives. So that's her ministry.
Who's that with you right there?
That's my wife again.
Okay.
We are in a very, very hostile area. And as we, you see, I'm in a pair of shorts ready to run. And so she is. And she's giving back messages as to the location that we are in, just in case.
As funny as that is, it's not. Did you just catch that? Like, we often would choose shorts because of the temperature. They chose running clothes to escape persecution for sharing the gospel. You know, we're on our cell phones a lot, and here's Linton again in the jungles in the area. I mean, tell us where you are here. What do you? Same thing, correct? I mean, that's why I chose these pictures, because this is what you're doing.
Because the water here is necessary for survival. But we have to get out of this area before 4 o'clock because it's elephant infested.
I didn't include any elephant pictures.
You didn't.
They know what those look like, but they're great-looking elephants. So let's, tell us about her and what's...
This is tea all around her. I live among the tea estates, and this is a tea picker will get about $2.50 per day if she can break 40 pounds of this tea, and when she receives Christ, then as a punishment, she will be sent to those peaks out there where she cannot break the 40 kilos of, or 20 kilos, which is 40 pounds of tea. So that's another way of being persecuted. But thank God, although her income might be less, the Lord takes care of them.
All kinds of persecution. I mean, just because she became a Christian, I mean, if you've read the scriptures and you remember the Jews who were in slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh, and they were prospering, and so they made the job too difficult to accomplish is what the Pharaoh was trying to do, and God continued to prosper them. It's a perfectly reflective persecution that the children of God had in Egypt. Yeah.
We are involved sometimes if somebody does support us, and whoever has. These are houses, mud houses that get blown off, either for the rain or for the monsoon season, the rains. And this lady, that her house is a strong believer. She even, you know, that estate that was there, she picked up somebody's thrown away child. And she's bringing that child up. But unfortunately, her house was struck down. We are rebuilding it. That's what we build. That's a part of it. it takes, at that time it took us $950 to do that. Just a block, and now it's about $1,050 to build one of those one-roomed places with an outside kitchenette, and then we'll clear the place. So that's what we do also.
Well, those are helpful images for us. Now, Pastor, I need you to help us understand. So you guys have received the same gospel we have. You've received the same charge. When I was sharing lunch with you the other day, you said, Chris, we're called to come to Jesus, and then we're called to go for Jesus. We come to him, then we go for him. We come to him, we go for him. And I was sharing with you how at City Lights, we believe the same thing. He has so changed our lives that we are immediately representation. We are immediately co-laborers. We're immediately ministers of reconciliation. We're immediately ambassadors. And yet, I mentioned to you, oftentimes in the Christianity in the United States of America, there's a failure to launch. And I know in some ways I'm having to not teach him that, but present that to him, because when they come to Christ, they're faced with all kinds of opposition. Could you just purify that again for us? So you receive this call and you go. Could you encourage us / challenge us, purify the calling in Christ for every one of us?
Yeah, you are a co-worker in Christ. He stands by you, and it's not your effort, it's his. If you would allow him to work through you, if you ask God to lead you to somebody that you may be able to speak to, he will. Don't bash him with scriptures. Don't do that. You'll annoy the man. Tell him stories. Tell him stories like I told you this morning. Look out for the opportunity where you can get a story that you can use in your ministry. That's why I noticed this beautiful pair that love each other so much. Because I'm always looking for an opportunity where I can introduce Jesus. And if you do, it's not difficult. Because it is the Lord in you doing his work. If you will only adhere and dedicate your life to, it's not difficult. It's simple. But don't bash the Bible on him. He'll not give you a second chance. Talk to him. Come down to his level. See what he likes to talk about. See what he likes to eat or whatever, so that you can have conversation with him. Let the fruits of the Spirit in you be evident in the man's life, that he would see Christ in you, that he would be able to recognize the love of Christ flowing through you. Let your eyes relax as you speak to him about the love of Jesus Christ, because that is the message, the central message of the gospel.
Thank you. Linton, Pastor Linton, when I first met you, you had, in some ways, kind of fled from your country. You were brought, your friends here before I knew you, wanted to get you out of your country because there were some, I believe, kind of the aggressive radical Buddhists that you were having a house time of worship and you got kind of invaded. Could you share a little bit of that story and how God worked in a powerful way so that you guys are still alive, shared in the gospel?
Yeah, it was a time when 243 churches were burnt down, pastors assaulted, guitars smashed, and so on and so forth, you know. And it was coming to us, and we were prepared for it. We knew sooner or later it's going to come, and it did come. We had about 300 people enter into our premises, and right into the church we had just finished. Nobody was yet gone out, and we all just sat down. I backed up against the pulpit at that time, expecting the worst to come, but we were prepared for that. If we had to meet Jesus immediately, we were ready for that.
And pardon me, when you say prepared, you're not saying to fight back with a gun. You were prepared. How were you prepared?
Yeah, we froze. We froze in the presence of Jesus. We froze. There was nobody who was going to to fight back, but to let them do as they came to do. But Jesus stood in the way of that. Just one man, he said, "You'll never preach again in this place." And he pointed his finger at me. He was 28 years old. He was built very strongly. And he kind of frightened me with his finger pointing directly at me and threatening me that I'll never preach again in 10 days. He got a heart attack and died. He was only 28 years old. That stalled those who walked into our house. And when I left here, the States, I bear witness to that, because the monk that tried to attack us, who led the gang against us, now salutes me when he sees me. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. And thank you for your prayers for us.
And you all were taken into custody, correct? On trial for potentially assembling for worship, is that correct?
Yes, 2 days. Myself and my wife had to be there 2 days with the Buddhist monks and the high-ranking police officers, and been grilled for converting Buddhists, because there is a law that they could jail us for 5 years. It's still existing. And the threat of that was with me, and I know if I'm jailed, I won't last there 6 months in that jail. So there was a little bit of fear and shaking within me, but there was the power of Christ that gave one of them, the senior inspector, to ask me what I gain by doing these things. And I looked at all of them as a lamb waiting for the slaughter. I told them, eternal life. And they let us go.
Yeah. Just thank you for your faithfulness. We're not done yet, but thank you for your faithfulness. You know, I admire this man very much, but if you speak to him, he's just describing what it looks like to walk with Jesus in the day he's in. I love that he goes and his teams just go look for people into the hills and all over the place. And Pastor Linton, you've shared with me that when you go into these villages and these remote places, you have about 60% of the people that you meet come to trust Jesus for salvation. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. There's a hunger. I'm now heading for the north, where the gospel has not been preached for 30 years. The terrorists over that area did not allow any religious activities. And as I stepped on that place, I saw them just flocking to hear the gospel. And I've been able to do it 3 times, and I'm expecting to go the 4th time, because the Lord touched a sister's heart over here in South Carolina, and she financed another trip to take the gospel over to the north as well. There is at least a 60 to 70% conversion rate when you talk about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for going to those people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Pastor, don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Don't be timid. You asked how many people come to worship here, and you said, next time I come here, it shouldn't be this many people, because we're called to come to Jesus, and we go for him. So this theater is nearly full. If by God's grace you're able to return here in 2 years, let's say there's about 500 people in here right now. If we're walking out the mission and the purpose of Jesus as a natural thing like you do, the same calling that we have in the scriptures, the same God, the same gospel, what would that look like for a local church like us? What's a normal expectation for every person in the room, including you and me?
If I come back in another 2 years, God willing, I would expect to see 500 become 1,000 at least. And I'll be praying for you that you will be able to bring at least one person in 2 years. Each of you, so that you'll have 1,000 people in 2 years' time. And I hope you will go out for Christ. Whatever you do, you will be reimbursed by Christ. How beautiful is the feet of those that bring good news. You know, you will shine if you look into the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Soul winners will shine as the brightness of the skies. Amen?
I'm going to open it to the room for 5 minutes. Raise your hand if you have real high if you have a question. Donna, why don't you, if you can shout it out.
Yeah, I did. Well, my team, to take my team out and the expense of the vehicle in the food and drink, because to get there, when I say food and drink, is scarcely have food to eat in that area. And just to go there to the very end of the north, if the map is there out there, I'll show you,
where
the walk-on area is. It's very difficult to get there. You have to still slip over landmines and things like that to get into the place. Okay. It's working now?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. From this area, it comes this way and goes that way. Okay? It's a V shape. No gospel for 30 years because of the war, and you know that. It cost us about 100,000 people during the 30 years of war. So I'm here. I go here. We have churches there. Then there, to the church on the beach, and then wake it up right there. Past the elephant pass. It's called an elephant pass where it's pretty day it was. And now going to Jaffna. This area, there are seven of them little small islands as well. And for me to get up there and get back may take 3 days if I'm quick enough, or 4 days. The cost to take my team up there with the materials that I need to distribute will be $400. That will be about it.
Well, I think we would love to help you do that. Donna, thank you for that question. $400, just in case you didn't catch that. $400 to go do that. Wow. Any other questions? You need to raise your hand really high if you have a question. The reason I said we'll open to questions is because I saw Donna's hand really high earlier. And I was like, is she just praising God? And it stayed like this, even during transition. I went, okay, if it goes during transition, that may be a question. Pastor Linton, I'm going to ask you before we close, will you pray for this church? Every time we pray for a local church, we're just one little tiny part, you know that, and you're a tiny part. But would you pray for the Church Universal under Jesus Christ's name, and also City Lights as well? We certainly don't think we're the only church. We would love to grow to 1,000 people, not for church growth's sake, but for more disciple makers to go throughout the world. And right where they're at. So that's what he means by that, by the way. We should be living out our faith, and his kingdom comes and goes through us. So would you pray for these people and all those around the world who put their trust in Christ? And I want to invite you, if you would, why don't you stand to receive this commissioning and blessing? Oftentimes at City Lights, we try to say what we believe, and the scriptures talk about loving God with our heart, mind, and our body. And so many times you'll see some people